RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. The Indonesian military, TNI, to back police to secure regional election. Indonesia optimistic about productive Ayora meeting. The conservation of biodiversity will be more difficult for the world. Now, the news in details. The commander of the Indonesian military, TNI, General Gatot Nurmantio, stated in Jakarta on Monday that the TNI rank and file would back up the police in ensuring security for successful conduct of regional elections in 2017. In a press conference at the presidential office, he termed the simultaneous regional elections to be held in February 2017 as a festival of democracy and assured that he would prepare the TNI rank and file to lend all support. National Police Polri Chief General Tito Karnavian pointed out the police, along with TNI and other community elements, would collectively make this festival of democracy in form of simultaneous regional elections 2017 a success. He noted that Polri and TNI in particular have already held coordination meetings in discuss measures in view of the upcoming elections. Simultaneous regional head elections will be held in 101 regions including Jakarta on February 15, 2017. President Joko Widodo gathered regional military and police chiefs from across the country, 35 provinces, at the State Palace on Monday to discuss the implementations of the regional elections. Director General for Asia Pacific and Africa of the Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Desra Percaya, officially opened the 18th Indian Ocean Rim Association, or AYORA, Committee of Senior Officials, or CSO, on Tuesday in Nusa Dua, Bali. In his speech, Desra expressed the optimism of Indonesia as the chairman of AYORA in order to make a series of AYORA meetings in Bali create agreement which will be ratified in AYORA Summit 2017. According to him, AYORA member countries have held talks with enthusiasm so that the goals are expected to be reached.
On the preparation for the summit, I hope that we will have a productive discussion on the indicative topics that can be proposed for the draft agenda of the Leaders Summit next year. I trust that we will be ready to submit concrete proposals once we conclude this meeting.
Indonesia chairs AYORA for the period of 2015 to 2017, with the theme Strengthening Maritime Cooperation in a Peaceful and Stable Indian Ocean. As a country which lies between the Indian Ocean and Pacific Ocean, Indonesia maximizes its chairmanship to boost maritime cooperation and strengthen economic diplomacy in the Indian Ocean region. It is in line with the visions of Indonesia as the world's maritime axis. In addition, Indonesia's chairmanship will be sized to develop Indian Ocean region as a new growth center through AYORA Corporation. the 53rd Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union is heading to its end. All members of ABU agreed to issue Bali Declaration during the second sessions of General Assembly held at Nusantara Room, Westin Resort, Nusa Dua, Bali on October 24, 2016. The declaration stated that all members of ABU has agreed to provide knowledge, reliable and impartial information to improve people's lives in Asia-Pacific. Broadcasters have an important role to play for the encouragement of unity in diversity for future prospects, social capital building and strong economic empowerment. The ABU General Assembly declares, embraces and pledges to devote the substantial and increased radio and television broadcast airtime in both peak and shoulder periods and utilize new media to celebrate and embrace all forms of multicultural and diversity. All ABU members further recognize their role as broadcasters to improve people's lives through Asia-Pacific region with knowledge and information as stated in 2012 Seoul Declaration. ABU General Assembly Forum by the Secretary General of ABU Jafat Montagi on October 24, 2016 in Westin Resort Nusa Dua, Bali asked the members of ABU about the declaration.
And what is expectation and also connections to our previous declarations that we had in 2012 in Seoul, we had in 2014 in Macau, and that takes us one step forward. So on behalf of RRI, on behalf of the Admin Council, on behalf of the members, I would like to seek your endorsement and approval to adopt this Bali Declaration.
ABU members in Macau reiterated their 2014 Macau commitment to reflect the audience diversity in their employment policy by providing equal employment opportunities to women, persons with disabilities, ethnic minorities, and members of different cultures and deliver content which reflect the diversity of the society. The Bali Declaration has an unanimous approval from the members of ABU at the last sessions of the first part of the Assembly. The annual event of the 54th ABU General Assembly next year will be hosted by the Sichuan TV of China in Shandong in 2017. The 53rd Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union ABU General Assembly agrees on the financial report delivered by Secretary General Jafat Montagi in Nusa Dua, Bali on Monday. In his report, he remarked that ABU financial condition in 2016, which ended last June, underwent surplus up to more than $200,000. The amount, according to Jafat Montagi, is higher than the predicted one, reaching $121,400. Jafat stated, "This achievement shows that ABU Secretariat is careful in using budget which was approved by ABU Administration Council last year."
In 2015 in Istanbul, the General Assembly approved budget and forecast a surplus of $121,400. The ABU succeeded to surpass this and an actual net surplus of the year 2015-16 stands as 242,149, as you have seen in the report. This clearly shows how careful the Secretariat is in spending the budget that you have even approved.
Furthermore, Jafat Montagi said, ABU's decision to minimize US dollars currency to Malaysian ringgit as much as possible also contributes to the improving financial report for the period of 2015 to 2016. He added, in the period of 2015 to 2016, ABU put ringgit in the fixed deposit, which contributed in a higher bank interest income. Jafat Montagi also confirmed ABU Secretariat's commitment to assuring healthy reserve fund. The rapid growth of the world population has given effect to the difficulty of world biodiversity conservation because the world becomes more narrow. Therefore, to anticipate the condition, there needs research collaboration for scientists, especially from ASEAN countries. It was said by Deputy Board of Biodiversity Science of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, or LIPI, Eni Sudarmonowati, at the International Symposiums ASEAN Vertebrata Species Diversity, AVIS, at Biology Research Center of LIPI in Bogor, West Java, on Monday.
The collaborative research and networking among ASEAN young scientists are important and need further nourishment. The future challenges on biodiversity conservation, of course, is becoming harder and harder with increasing population of the world, not just in Indonesia, of course. On the other hand, advanced science and technology gives mere tools for solving scientific problems with collaboration, friendship, and trust related to species diversity.
Meanwhile, Professor of Kyoto University, Japan, Masaharu Motokawa explained, the international world needs to build concrete collaboration to make research to animal species diversity, which was especially done by young scientists, in order they have a lot of experiences from various researches in many countries. Malaysian Ministry of Education has officially acknowledged 8 Indonesian Community Learning Centers, CLCs, in Sarawak, East Malaysia, through the issuance of legal certificates. The certificates were handed over by Ahmad Lofti bin Zubir, Deputy Director of Private Education, to each of the CLCs management in Ladang Tiga, Miri, on Saturday, October 22nd. The CLC accommodates the educational needs of Indonesian migrant workers' children who are working in Malaysia companies such as palm oil companies. Professor Ari Purbayanto, attaché of Education and Culture of the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, appreciated the Malaysian Ministry of Education for approving the 8 Indonesian CLCs in Sarawak. Ari noted it is a commitment for the implementation of World Agreement of Education for All and a legal protection by the Malaysian government to provide basic education for the Indonesian children in Sarawak. The last item, a diesel-electric DSME 209 or H-77113 submarine ordered by the Indonesian Navy has been officially launched from DSME shipyard Guje Island, South Korea, on Monday. The DSME 209 is the second submarine of the 3 submarines ordered by the Indonesian government. The first submarines, the DSME 209 H-77112, was launched on March 24, 2016 from the same location, attended by Indonesian Defense Minister Riamizat Riyakudu and Chief of Naval Staff Admiral Ade Supandi. Indonesia orders 3 diesel-electric or KSDE submarines Changbogo class from South Korea from Daewoo Shipbuilding and Marine Engineering or DSME shipyard with technology transfer process. The 2 submarines are fully manufactured at DSME, while the other one will be completed by the Indonesian shipyard company PT PAL. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Implementing Nawacita in the Country and Nation. Nawacita is a term that is absurd from Sanskrit, meaning 9 ideals or hopes. In the context of politics in Indonesia, the term refers to the vision and mission of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kalla administration. Nawacita in principle is to continue the struggle and the future goals of the nation's founding father, Sukarno, whose idea is known as Trisakti, or 3 ideals, namely politically sovereign, independent, and with personality in the economy and in culture. The principal agenda of Nawacita are to bring back the state presence, to protect all the people and provide security for all citizens, to make the government not be absent by building clean, effective, democratic and reliable governance. To build Indonesia from the periphery to strengthen these areas and villages within the pennant of unitary state. To reduce the weakness of the country by reforming the system and law enforcement corruption-free, dignified and reliable country. To improve the quality of Indonesian human life. To improve people's productivity and competitiveness in the international market. To realize economic independence by moving the strategic sectors of domestic economy. To build revolutionary character of the nation. And the last one, to strengthen Indonesian diversity and social restoration. Although it's not complete, the impact of Nawacita has started being felt by Indonesian people. But after 2 years of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kala administration, one point in Nawacita agenda is that it is still widely discussed and even debated by the public, that is point number 8, revolutionary character of the nation, or commonly called a mental revolution. Heated discussion about mental revolution has been in progress since 2014 presidential election campaign even became a trending topic on social media. In an article in the National Daily, Joko Widodo was quoted as saying that the meaning of mental revolution, which he initiated, is to promote character development, to reinforce the personality and identity of the nation, in accordance with the Sukarno's Tri Sakti. To achieve these objectives, according to Joko Widodo, the education system must be geared to help establish the identity of Indonesian nation, which is culture and civilized, and upholds moral values of Indonesia. Access to education and public health services are programmed, directed, and targeted by the state to help build social personalities and culture of Indonesia. Mental revolution has to be started from power holders. Because this nation should have an example, had a good personality of role models, many political leaders do not reflect their behavior with mental revolution. Bung Karno initiated that Trisakti, which is the foundation of Nawacita, is not without reason. The goal is none other than building this nation to exist in international community as a great nation and respected by others. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, coming to you today with our program, Today in History. A regular segment which discusses people, places, and events that happened on this date in history. Let's begin with October 25, 1945, at the end of World War II. On this day, in 1945, 6,000 Allied troops led by the 23rd Division, led by Brigadier General Malati, landed in Surabaya to disarm the Japanese troops. Obertin Walter Southern Malaby, also known as Brigadier General Malaby, was a British Brigadier General who was killed in a firefight on October 30 in Surabaya. He also triggered the release of the British ultimatum against the Japanese and caused the famous battle on November 10, 1945. Brigadier General Malaby was commander of Brigade 49 Division of India, a brigade 6,000 strong and part of the Allied Forces Netherlands East Indies, who were sent to Indonesia after the completion of World War II. The objectives of their mission to Surabaya were to disarm the Japanese troops, free Japan's prisoners of war, and restore Dutch rule back in Indonesia under the Netherlands India Civil Administration, or NAICA. Malaby led his troops into Surabaya on October 25, 1945 to disarm the Japanese troops in accordance with the contents of the Yalta Agreement. This was met with resistance from Indonesian freedom fighters because AFNI demanded they hand over
weapons they had taken from the Japanese. Though some army conflicts arose between the two groups, one of which became famous, occurring on October 30, 1945, near Jembatan Merah, Surabaya. Let's head over now to October 25, 1962, when Nelson Mandela was sentenced to 5 years in prison. Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela, a well-known political figure and humanitarian around the world. He was a freedom fighter involved in anti-apartheid activities in South Africa and later became president of South Africa. Mandela persistently fought against the apartheid system that relegated black people in South Africa to second-class citizens. He joined the African National Congress and with Walter Sisulu and Oliver Tambo led peaceful protests against the apartheid rule. Because of his anti-apartheid activities, he was arrested and imprisoned several times. On August 5, 1962, Mandela was arrested and imprisoned in the Johannesburg port. Later, on October 25, 1962, he was sentenced to serve 5 years in prison. However, on June 12, 1964, he and a group of other activists were sentenced to life in prison. Almost 26 years later, in February 1990, Nelson Mandela was released from prison. In 1993, together with President de Klerk, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And let's end our show today on October 25, 2010, the Mentawai Islands earthquake. In 2010, an earthquake in Mentawai Islands, measuring 7.7 on the Richter scale, occurred off the coast of Sumatra Island, Indonesia. The earthquake created a tsunami 3 to 10 meters high. The tsunami destroyed 77 villages, resulting in 509 deaths, 59 missing persons, and 173 were serious injuries. The damage caused by the tsunami was estimated to reach 125 billion rupiah. The tsunami also caused 15,353 residents to evacuate Mentawai. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is 4 Indonesian crews held hostage in Somalia are freed. 4 Indonesian citizens along with 22 other Asian hostages who were held hostage by Somali pirates for nearly 5 years were finally released. This happened on Saturday, October 22, 2016 at around 1 p.m. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi speaking to the press at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Monday said the 4 hostages along with 22 others had landed at Nairobi Airport. Currently, they are in Nairobi, Kenya, and will soon be repatriated to Indonesia.
The Besar Republik Indonesia in Nairobi dan tim Kementerian Luar Negeri yang dipimpin oleh
The Ambassador of Indonesia in Nairobi and the Foreign Ministry team headed by Director of the Protection of Indonesian Citizens are to pick up the 4 hostages. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs team has been in Nairobi a day before the arrival of the hostages. The condition of the hostages is generally in good health. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said there were 29 crew members aboard when Naham 3 ship was hijacked by Somali pirates in the waters around the Seychelles on March 26, 2012. The ship's captain died when the hijacking occurred. 2 other hostages died in 2014. Those who were held hostage in Somalia were from the Philippines, India, Cambodia, Taiwan, China, and Vietnam. Minister Retno Marsudi said that on Monday, October 24, health checks for hostages had been carried out. They have to pass a few days of recovery before being sent home to Indonesia. Minister Retno Marsudi added, since January 2015, President Joko Widodo has ordered the Foreign Ministry and the National Intelligence Agency BIN to intensify efforts to free Indonesian citizens in Somalia. Liberation has been done through a very long process. Of course, the safety of the hostages remains a priority, Minister Retno added. She also said that talks with pirates countries have been intensified. The Indonesian government has also coordinated and cooperated with NGOs, international organizations, and the United Nations. Minister Retno Marsudi views that her ministry has kept communicating with the hostage families on a regular basis so they know the effort made by the government, including the challenges faced in the process of liberation. Minister Retno Marsudi added, the government of Indonesia thanked all parties for their cooperation and support, both in the country, especially the head of the State Intelligence Agency, as well as those abroad involving multiple parties in an attempt to free the hostages. That was Focus Today.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with News in Brief, I'm Dee Nugraha. The commander of the Indonesian military, General Gatot Nurmantio, stated in Jakarta on Monday that the TNI rank and file would back up the police in ensuring security for successful conduct of regional elections in 2017. Director General for Asia Pacific and Africa of the Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Desra Percaya, officially opened the 18th Indian Ocean Rim Association or IORA Committee of Senior Official CSO on Tuesday in Nusa Dua, Bali. The 53rd Asia Pacific Broadcasting Union is heading to its end. All members of ABU agreed to issue Bali Declaration during the second sessions of General Assembly held at Nusantara Room, Westin Resort, Nusa Dua, Bali on October 24, 2016. The 53rd Asia Pacific Broadcasting Union ABU General Assembly agrees on the financial report delivered by Secretary General Javad Montagi in Nusa Dua, Bali on Monday. Malaysian Ministry of Education has officially acknowledged 8 Indonesian Community Learning Centers or CLCs in Sarawak is Malaysia through the issuance of legal certificates. The last item, a diesel electric DSME 209 H7713 submarine ordered by the Indonesian Navy has been officially launched from DSME shipyard Kuji Island, South Korea on Monday. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dee Nugraha. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is with pleasure that we meet again in the regular segment Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, the culinary art, the fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you on culinary tour of Papua. Stay tuned. Listener, rice is a staple food in Indonesia, especially Indonesian people in western region. Besides rice,
Indonesia also has other staple foods, particularly for people in Indonesian eastern region, such as Maluku and Papua. They usually consume various preparations of sago. Sago flour or the processing sago is obtained from the processing of sago palm. It is chewy texture when cooked. The people of Maluku or Papua make sago into papeda or sago porridge. Besides papeda, the local community also makes sago become sinole. Sinole is one of the staple food in Papua. The color is light brown with coarse green shape. It looks unattractive and not appetizing, but sinole is sweet, savory, and tasteless. Even its texture is similar to rice. The taste of sinole is unique and enjoyable to eat. Listener, it is easy to make sinole. Raw sago is dried, then sifted into soft flour. Afterwards, the grated coconut is roasted in a hot pan. Furthermore, take the sago flour, sugar, and salt. All the ingredients are mixed equally in the roasted process until the sago is lightly browned. Once browned, sinole is ready to serve and eat. Listener, sinole is a good taste, especially if we eat it with yellow sauce fish. Usually, the people of Papua eat sinole together with yellow sauce fish. The yellow sauce fish is one of fish dishes cooked with spices, particularly turmeric. Usually, people use swordfish, mackerel, and tuna to make the yellow sauce fish cuisine. Besides the yellow sauce fish, usually, sinole seller also presents a piece of salty octopus to complement the sinole. The price is quite cheap. One portion of sinole is about 20,000 to 30,000 rupiah. The listener, we invite you to taste sinole, the typical cuisine from Papua, when you visit the region. Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sinole Culinary from Papua. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Today's topic is di pasar swalayan, or in English, at the supermarket. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Pasar Swalayan. Pasar Swalayan, which means supermarket. Pulang. Pulang. Go home. Berbelanja. Berbelanja. Shopping. Bersih. Bersih. Clean. Daging ayam. Daging ayam. Chicken meat. Daging sapi. Daging sapi. Beef. Telur. Telur. Egg. Sayur. Sayur. Vegetable. Buah. Buah. Fruit. Kue-kue. Kue-kue. Cakes. Makanan kaleng. Makanan kaleng. Canned food. Makanan siap saji. Makanan siap saji. Ready to eat food. Makanan beku. Makanan beku. Frozen food. Nyaman. Nyaman. Convenient. Aman. Aman. Safe. Trolley. 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 Membayar. Membayar. To pay. Kartu kredit. Kartu kredit. Credit card. Uang kontan. Uang kontan. Cash. Kasir. Kasir. Cashier. Kantong plastik. Kantong plastik. Plastic bag. Dorong. Dorong. To push. Parkir mobil. Parkir mobil. Parking lot. Rekreasi. Rekreasi. Recreation. Next is a conversation on di pasar swalayan, or in English, at supermarket. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Susan and Tuti in the parking lot. Hey Susan, sebelum pulang, saya mau ke pasar swalayan. Sebelum pulang, saya mau ke pasar swalayan, in English. Before going home, I'll drop by the supermarket. Apakah kamu mau ikut? Apakah kamu mau ikut? Are you coming? B. Tuti. Mengapa kamu lebih suka berbelanja di pasar swalayan? Mengapa kamu lebih suka berbelanja di pasar swalayan? In English, why do you prefer to go to supermarket? A. Susan. Karena selain lebih bersih, barang-barang di pasar swalayan juga lebih lengkap. Karena selain lebih bersih, barang-barang di pasar swalayan juga lebih lengkap. In English, because besides being clean, the goods in supermarket are more complete. Di sana saya bisa membeli daging ayam. Di sana saya bisa membeli daging ayam. In English, there I can buy chicken meat, daging sapi, beef, telur, egg, sayur, vegetable, buah, fruits, kue-kue, cakes, makanan kaleng, canned food, makanan siap saji, ready to eat food, dan juga makanan beku, and also frozen food. B. Tuti. Ya, belanja di pasar swalayan lebih nyaman dan aman. Ya, belanja di pasar swalayan lebih nyaman dan aman. In English, yes, shopping at supermarket is more convenient and safe. Karena selain memakai troli, kita juga bisa membayar dengan kartu kredit. Karena selain memakai troli, kita juga bisa membayar dengan kartu kredit. In English, besides being provided with a trolley, we can also pay with a credit card. Susan. Betul, kita tidak perlu membawa uang kontan. Betul, kita tidak perlu membawa uang kontan. In English, right, we don't have to bring some cash. Setelah membayar di kasir, belanjaan semua dimasukkan ke dalam kantong plastik. Setelah membayar di kasir, belanjaan semua dimasukkan ke dalam kantong plastik. In English, after paying at the cashier, all groceries are put into plastic bags. Kemudian dimasukkan ke troli. Kemudian dimasukkan ke troli. In English, then put into the trolley. Kita dorong ke tempat parkir mobil. Kita dorong ke tempat parkir mobil. In English, we just push it to the parking lot. Sungguh nyaman. Sungguh nyaman. In English, it's really convenient. Dituti. Ayo kita berangkat ke pasar swalayan. Ayo kita berangkat ke pasar swalayan. In English, let's go to the supermarket. Kita belanja sambil rekreasi. Kita belanja sambil rekreasi. In English, we can do some shopping while having a recreation. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian traditional and modern music. In today's edition, we'll feature dangdut songs. Well, let's listen to the first song entitled Kiblat Cinta by Juan Rahman. Happy listening.
Hidupku, oh, dan juga matiku. Kau kiblat cintaku, oh, dan arah rinduku. Engkaulah tawaku, oh, dan juga tangisku. Engkau bahagiaku, oh, dan juga sedihku. Kau indah. Sempurna. tiada sempurna.
The song Kiblat Cinta, sung by dangdut singer Juan Rahman. The song is Juan's new song. Kiblat Cinta was released in January 2016 and tells the story about someone who loved her boyfriend as the lyric Tanpa Mukuk Hampa, Sengsara, or I'm Nobody Without You and Miserable. The song was composed by Adibal Syahrul. And the arrangement of the song is so gloomy in accordance with the lyrics. The sound of electric guitar at the beginning of the song and the sound of bamboo flute combined with violin make this song sounds very melodious. Before releasing the song Kiblat Cinta, the singer, who has a real name Abdul Rahman Lubis, has also previously released a song entitled Madu, which is also quite acceptable by dangdut music lovers in the country. Releasing in February 2015, Madu tells about love expression of a man toward a woman, namely Madu, whom he admired. The song was composed by Yanto Sari, which previously been popularized by Amrish Arifin, then rearranged with dangdut music in modern dangdut music, sung by Juan Rahman. A listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Madu by Juan Rahman. Enjoy the song.
Thank you. ada di sini. Hatiku bahagia, nafasku akan terhenti bila kau tiada. Madu, madu, orangnya manis, semanis madu, membuat hati selalu senyuman manis bibirmu. Aku tak bisa berpisah darimu sayangku. Sehari saja tak jumpa, rindu aku rindu. Madu, senyumnya manis, semanis madu, membuat hati selalu rindu. Senyuman manis bibirmu, aku tak bisa berpisah darimu sayangku. Sehari saja tak jumpa, rindu aku rindu. Madu, senyumnya manis, semanis madu, membuat hati selalu rindu. Madu, madu, orangnya manis, semanis madu, cintaku suci hanya untukmu. Bila kau ada di sini, hati bahagia, nafasku akan terhenti bila kau tiada. Aku tak bisa berpisah darimu sayangku. Sehari saja tak jumpa, rindu aku rindu.
Juan Rahman, who was born in 1988, began his career in music dangdut by following a singing talent competition event of dangdut singer in one of Indonesian private TV stations in 2007. Although he did not win the dangdut contest, Juan established himself to run his career as a male dangdut singer in the country. He later released his first single in 2013. The first song, entitled Untung Ada Kamu, also tells the story about love. Fortunately, Untung Ada Kamu, included in dangdut dance genre that takes the rhythm of Latin and Malay. The song, which was composed by Adibal Syahrul and arranged by Prikis, shows vocal abilities and qualities of Juan Rahman. After succeed with the first single in January 2015, Juan re-released a single entitled Yang Setia, Yang Kucinta. The song is about a man who annoyed since he is difficult to meet his lover and thought she is cheating. However, in fact, the lover does not get blessing from her parents to the relationships. Composed by Shifa Ramadan, this song was dominantly influenced by Latin music, with sounds of guitar, especially at the beginning of the song. Well, listener, to conclude this segment for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Yang Setia, Yang Kucinta, and Untung Ada Kamu by Juan Rahman. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
Aku menunggumu, satu jam lebih aku ada di rumahmu. Di manakah engkau berada? Kau ingkar janji kita akan pergi bersama. Ya, engkau bersama si apa? Mengapa kau tak angkat telepon dariku? Kau tanamkan rasa curiga. Kau buat aku cemburu gila jadinya. Katakan bila kau sudah tak saja cinta ini, jangan kau selingkuh. Biarkan ku cari pengganti yang lain untukku, yang dapat setia menjaga cintanya. Ya, kau bersama si
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.